Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning, also from the EHV, is recorded in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. For the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow to do what he promised, as some consider slowness. Instead, he is patient for your sakes, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a roar. The elements will be dissolved as they burn with great heat, and the earth and what was done on it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be destroyed, what kind of people ought you to be, living in holiness and godliness, as you look forward to and hasten the coming of the day of God? That day will cause the heavens to be set on fire and destroyed, and the elements to melt as they burn with great heat. But according to his promise, we look forward to new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, dear friends, as you look forward to these things, make every effort to be found in peace, spotless, and blameless in his sight. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, it's not unusual, in fact, it's quite common for a writer of a letter to, near the beginning, identify the purpose for which he is writing. The aged Peter is no exception as he penned these words late in his life to the Christians scattered around the world. In fact, this was his second letter. So earlier in chapter 3, Peter had written, "This is now my second letter to you, as I have written both as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." What better preparation could there be to celebrate Christmas or to prepare for Christ's second advent than with wholesome thinking? Now, as then, there will be those who are not interested in wholesome thinking, that is, thinking that is in keeping with God's word, thinking that comes from faith, thinking that leads to things that are to the glory of God. But rather, Peter says that scoffers and mockers are going to come. And they're not going to think that way, but they're rather going to follow their evil desires. And Peter mentions two specific areas in which they will do that. First of all, they're going to mock God and ask, "Well, where is this coming? Your God said that he's coming back, but he has not done that." And the other thing Peter writes about is that they will deliberately forget that God created the universe. Now, what is that going to lead to? Well, that's going to lead, isn't it, to mockery about God being slow in keeping his promises or not keeping them at all. Or that any kind of fiery destruction of the universe is just as silly as thinking that God called all matter into being and then formed it into the beautiful universe that we have. And then Peter summarizes our preparation, our wholesome thinking in this regard, with action, as he calls us to live in peace, to live in godliness and righteousness, as we wait for that day to come. And so how do we do that? Here's how. repentant readiness for Jesus' return. Well, see, first of all, that God gives, or that rather, God's patience gives us time for repentance. And secondly, that God has us look forward to a new home in righteousness. At first, it may seem as if today's message would be pretty similar to last week's, and I guess it is, but there are two quite different things in mind. Last week, we talked about the Advent message of watchfulness, of being on guard, being alert, watching for the end. Today, the message is repentance. Today, we hear more about John the Baptist calling the people to whom he preached to repentance. Each and every week, we are called through the Word to repentance. Each and every day, we live in that repentance, that contrition and faith in Jesus Christ. Our Advent readiness today is repentance for the Lord's return. Be contrite for your sins. Confess your sins to God. Tell Him that you know you deserve His wrath and punishment for those sins. Then turn to the Lord Jesus for His mercy and for His grace. Have peace in Him and the forgiveness of your sins. And use that peace to strive in your life to live in godliness and righteousness to His glory. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Repentance for the Christian is not a choppy action that we do every time we sin. We live in a condition or state of repentance. It is the constant, continual attitude of our hearts and minds to hate sin and to trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness. That is the condition of our hearts living in the constant condition of God's grace, of God's continuing forgiveness of our sins. It is in that condition that we are ready for the Lord's return. It is that state of grace, that condition of repentance, that we live in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as we live in time. Now, as we do that, we may tend to forget that God doesn't live in time. God is eternal. Eternal means there is no time. So God lives in timeless now. And that leads the scoffers and the mockers to look at God's apparent slowness to keep His promise, if He's going to keep it at all, because He hasn't done it. He didn't do it back then like the people thought He was going to. You people have been thinking that Jesus is going to return any day now, and He hasn't. So God must really be slow. God must really not intend to keep His promises. And so Peter reminds us, so that we don't fall into the same trap, that God is not slow in keeping His promises, as some regard and consider slowness. Instead, He is patient for your sakes, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Our primary concern is not that Jesus is coming again. Our primary concern is not that Jesus is coming again like a thief, that is, with no previous preparation or announcement. Our primary concern is that we are ready when he does. And that readiness is repentance for Jesus' return. It is living in that condition of hatred for sin and trust in Jesus as our Savior. God is being patient with you and with me, so that today we can think about our baptism. So today we can think about Jesus' cross. So that today we can drown our old Adam in our baptisms and prepare. Today is the day of repentance. If you love sin in your life, repent. If you are holding in your heart anger or jealousy or an attitude of vengeance in your heart towards someone else, repent. If you are selfish and greedy and uncharitable, repent. God has forgiven you all of your sins. The Lord's return means the destruction of this world and the universe with fire. The old will pass away just as the old has passed away in us. Did you ever think of that, that we're a little bit ahead of the end of the world? God has already destroyed the old in us by calling us to faith. He's destroyed the power of our sinful nature. He's destroyed the power of our old Adam. He's destroyed our love for sin. He's made us new creatures. Creatures who want to live in righteousness and holiness and do the right thing. But what's the problem? We're now living in righteousness, but we're still stuck in this old world of unrighteousness. And so Jesus is going to change that. God is going to change that when Jesus comes again. God is going to give us new heavens and a new earth on which righteousness lives. Because we don't belong here anymore. This is not the world and the universe in which we want to live. And so God is going to send his son back, and God's going to make a world where we should live, where we will live as his children, where there will be no unrighteousness, where there will be no sin and no temptation or death. Peter wrote these letters so that the people would not fall into the trap of the scoffers and the mockers by becoming discouraged, by thinking because Jesus hadn't come yet that he was not going to keep his promises in his good time, if at all. But he will. And he wanted them to remember that it was God who created the universe. God, with his word, created the world, created the beauty that Adam and Eve were to enjoy in perfection, but is no longer perfect. God called all things into existence and formed them as he wanted. And he's going to do that again. After he destroys this universe, he's going to call into existence new heavens and a new earth, the home of righteousness. And we look forward to that, don't we? Don't we look forward to living with all of our millions of fellow believers in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Christian Church, and it's just us? It's just our Christian family? the children of God with our eternal Father. We look forward, Peter wrote, to new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now for the scoffers and the mockers, the destruction of the universe is problematic because they don't believe in the creation of the universe. But for us, it's not problematic at all. We know that God, who called all things into being and formed them, can call all things out of being and reform them into what he wants them to be. The end of the world will be no less a miracle than the creation of the world. And God is patient with us now so that he will find us in repentance, so that we won't perish when he returns. So in light of Jesus' advent, Peter asks, what kind of people should we be living in holiness and godliness as you look forward to and hasten the coming of the day of the Lord? We need to live in a world that matches what God has made us, righteous through Christ. He will give us that righteous world in which we will live. We hasten the coming of that day by preaching the gospel. By living godly lives and by preaching the gospel, we hasten the day of the end of time. Because through our preaching, God will call the elect into the church. And the faster and the wider we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, tell others that Jesus' cross is their cross, that his empty tomb is their empty tomb, that he has prepared a place in heaven for them, the faster and wider we get that gospel out, the quicker people will come to believe in Jesus as their Savior. And when the last elect person comes to faith, then God will draw the curtain down on this world and on this universe. The details about the timing and the manner and all those other things surrounding the end of the world and the universe and time, those are all very interesting things to discuss, maybe even to argue about. It's tempting to confront the scoffers and the mockers and dismiss them, or wish the worst for them because of their attitude. But there's something even better. And that is to share God's word with them so that they can have repentant readiness for Jesus' return. That is even something better for us. Rather than standing around arguing with people or discussing with people about the end of the world, rather we turn from our sin and we turn and live in holiness and righteousness. That we turn and live in godliness as our Lord has called us to live. Something better for us is to keep our eyes lifted to heaven, looking for the Son of Man to come on the clouds. Most urgent is the Lord's call for repentant readiness for Jesus' return as we look forward to and prepare for our home of righteousness. Amen.